And now let's turn to God's word this morning and pray together our prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Be with me as I read from the word of the Lord. Either you may follow along on the screens, page 414 in your pew Bible, or if you have your own Bible. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. And though it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning. "But go up before anyone could be recognized." And she said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and poured it over her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we continue on the story of Ruth. And to catch those up who haven't been here over the last couple of weeks, this is a story with 3 main characters. The actual main character of the story is not who the story is named after, but her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi, as we heard 2 weeks ago, her husband Elimelech, they go in the midst of famine in Bethlehem to enemy territory, Moab. And they take their two sons with them. Their sons marry Moabite women. And over the course of time, Naomi's husband and her two sons die in that enemy territory. And so Naomi makes the decision to travel back to Bethlehem, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, travels back with her. Naomi feels very bitter toward God because of the death of her husband and her sons. Ruth, the Moabite, goes and works in the field of a stranger. In the early Israelite welfare system known as gleaning. She works along with the men and women in picking up whatever is left over from the harvesting procedure for barley and grain, and whatever she's able to put together, she takes back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. What Ruth doesn't know is that this field belongs to Naomi's husband's next of kin, and his name is Boaz. And Boaz, knowing the kindness that Ruth has showed to Naomi, shows kindness to her by protecting her, by inviting her back to work in the fields again, by making it easy for her to gather grain to take back home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so this concept, which Cheryl reminded us of, comes to light again and again. And that concept is chesed. Can we all say that together? Chesed. Like I said before, if you're not spitting on the person in front of you, you're not saying it right. Chesed. Kindness. Loyalty. The love that God shows to God's people, that those who love God are showing to one another. So, fast forward 7 weeks later, to the end of the harvest, and there's a huge party planned in Bethlehem because, well, the harvest has come in successfully, which is not something that can be counted on. This is kind of a foreign concept to us with the technology that we live in today. Of course, for the most part, we're city folk, suburbanites. But if we grew up on a farm, we would know the amount of work and toil that it takes to bring in the harvest. And it's not guaranteed, right? It has to rain. But it can't rain too much, or else, you know, things will drown. Of course, today we have modern irrigation system and drainage systems that sort of help to even those things out. But in Boaz's time, not so much. And, well, the bugs might come and eat up the crop. Of course, today we have pesticides and other technology to help to make sure that the bugs don't come. In fact, I read a story in the Record a few weeks ago that etymologists, those who study bugs, had actually found a bug that would eat a certain type of plant that was taking over some of the forests, and so they placed those bugs in that place. Sort of another modern marvel of technology, but for a long time, farmers not using pesticides have used other bugs to take care of bugs that might destroy their crops, which is one way of saying way too much about the agricultural process. But all of this to say that you can about imagine the party when there's a good harvest and it all comes in without anything happening to it. And so Bethlehem breaks out in celebration. All of the bars are open and it is pouring. It's a celebration, it's a party, it's New Year's Eve, it's Christmas, all thrown into one. Right? And so Naomi, well, she sees an opportunity. She knows that Boaz is next of kin. He's what's known as a Goel, a kinsman redeemer, someone who might possibly be able to marry Ruth, produce children that would allow the land that Naomi is living on to continue in their family's name. And so Naomi says to Ruth, the party's tonight. So here's what I want you to do. Put on your best dress. Put on some makeup. Put on some perfume. And go down to the threshing floor. But hide out until Boaz has eaten enough and drunk enough to where he's going to pass out on the threshing floor. And when that happens, without anyone seeing you, go to him and uncover his feet, and he will tell you what to do next. Now, Hollywood has been doing some biblical movies lately. Russell Crowe was in the big Noah movie. The Moses story has been done several times. Charlton Heston famously did that. The birth and life of Jesus have been done. But I'm surprised that Ruth has never been done as a movie. Mostly because of what's about to happen on the threshing floor, right? Hollywood would love this kind of thing, especially today. Uncover his feet and he'll tell you what to do next. Sometimes feet mean feet, and sometimes feet mean something more than feet, folks. This is a very, very, very racy kind of a story here. So what's it doing in our Bible? Well, Ruth does exactly what Naomi tells her to do. She puts on some nice clothes, she puts on some perfume, she puts on her makeup, she goes to the threshing floor, she watches, she waits for Boaz to eat and drink his fill, falls asleep on the threshing floor, she goes, uncovers his feet, and lays down. And something startles Boaz. He wakes up and he sees a woman lying next to him. Oh, Naomi's plan is going beautifully up to this point, isn't it? Don't you love it when mothers-in-law meddle into the lives of their children-in-law? Of course, no one here knows anything about that, I'm sure. But just in case you do, this is going beautifully, wonderfully. Except for the fact that Boaz looks and doesn't even recognize Ruth. He says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am your servant, Ruth." But then, rather than just sitting back and waiting for Boaz to dictate what is going to happen next, Ruth, being the forceful person that she is, says to Boaz, "Cover me with your cloak, for you are Goel. You are a kinsman redeemer." Now, the imagery of this is something really, really beautiful. Cover me over with your cloak. The language there is the same language that is in the Psalms about what the psalmist asks God to do for God's people. To cover them with his cloak or his wing of protection. So what Ruth is saying to Boaz here is, cover me over and protect me, which are words that a wife says to a husband. Ruth is no longer the one who's going to sit back and allow things to be dictated to her. She's got the ring, and she's going to put it on Boaz. She's proposing to him, which is completely out of the ordinary. But Ruth doesn't care. And Boaz says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter, for you have exceeded yourself in what kindness you have shown to me." There's that word again, kindness, chesed. Ruth has shown kindness to Naomi. Boaz has shown kindness to Ruth. And now Ruth shows kindness to Boaz. And then Boaz tells us something about himself that we didn't know up to this point. But before I get to that, let me ask you a question. How do you picture Boaz? When you close your eyes and picture Boaz out in the field, what does he look like to you? Well, earlier we knew that he's a man of standing, right? Respected in the community. Perhaps he's handsome, attractive, kind, right? He's sort of like that guy in all the romance novels, you know, with his shirt off, riding on the back of a horse. You know, I've never read one of those things, but you see him on the covers all the time, right? I always imagine him to be kind of a young guy. But then he outs himself here, and he says, Ruth, you've shown such kindness to me because you didn't chase after younger men, rich or poor. The guy is an older gentleman. We don't know how old he is, but we know that for whatever reason, he's lived in this town of Bethlehem, he's gained stature, and yet he's never gotten married. He's never had a wife. He doesn't have any children. And so, in this way, even though Boaz is Goel to Ruth, he's a kinsman redeemer. In much the same way, Ruth is redeeming Boaz as well. This is a story of redemption. It's a story of kindness. It's a story of loyalty. But Boaz, being the person of noble character he is, just as Ruth is a woman of noble character, which in the Hebrew, in the Jewish way of organizing the Bible, the book of Ruth comes right after the book of Proverbs. And the last chapter of Proverbs is Proverbs 31. And anyone know Proverbs 31 right off the top of your head? Anyone have that in devotions or anything? I'm thinking especially of women here. Right, Jan, you're right. Proverbs 31 is about the woman of noble character. Describes exactly who she is. And Ruth is identified as that woman. She is a woman of noble character. And Boaz is a man of noble character. And so, in doing right by one another, Boaz says, I will most certainly be your Goel. But I know there's someone else in town who actually has more of a claim to you and your land than I do. So tomorrow, I'll wake up, go down to the town square, I'll find this guy and offer you to him first. And if he refuses, then I will be the happiest man in the whole world. And then he takes her clothes and puts some barley in them, 6 measures, and sends her back to her mother-in-law. And someone at the early service pointed out this morning that Boaz knows what Naomi is up to here in all this and doesn't want Ruth to come back empty-handed. So fills her up with grain and sends her back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi hears all of these wonderful things, and her heart rejoices. Rejoices at the kindness of Boaz, and as sort of a sidebar, at the kindness of God, at the loyalty that God has shown through all of these things. Now, I want you to notice in Ruth chapter 3 that God has no direct action. God does not cause Boaz to fall asleep on the threshing floor. God does not possess him and make him say the things that he is saying. But God's action is present throughout this entire chapter. The celebration of the coming of the harvest is like our Thanksgiving celebration. And what is it that we primarily give thanks for in the presence of harvest? That God has been present, that God has been faithful, that God has been loyal, that God has shown chesed. And Ruth and Boaz are people of noble character. But they didn't just fall out of the sky. Over their lives, God has been at work in them, molding them, shaping them to be the people that they are, which is miraculous because remember, Ruth is a Moabite. Right? She's from Moab. They're pagans. And yet somehow, God has been at work in her life, molding her and shaping her into the noble woman that is described in Proverbs 31, a godly woman. God has been at work in this story from well before the beginning of the story. In much the same way, God has been involved in our stories from the very beginning. Sometimes the story is like chapter 1, where there's loss and bitterness. Sometimes the story is like chapter 2, where there's kindness, generosity. Sometimes the story is like chapter 3, where there's celebration. Romance. Whatever God's faithfulness looks like, whatever that chesed looks like in your life, it's important to remember that God is present, that God is active, even when it seems that people are just people doing the things that people do. God is at work in each one of us, the Spirit of God present in each one of us. The story of Ruth is a story of redemption. And we'll hear next week whether the other guy gets to be the redeemer or whether Boaz gets to be the redeemer. And we'll learn what happens. All of our questions will undoubtedly be answered next week, so don't miss. Come back. Labor Day weekend, day of the barbecue, will wait until later. But this is a story of redemption. And our story, our lives, are a story of redemption. We have a part to play in redeeming one another. Most of all, because we ourselves stand as those who have already been redeemed. Not by our own doing, but by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It seems like the book of Ruth doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, but we'll find out next week whether that's true or not. But just know that as the Holy Spirit works in us, we have opportunities to be Goel to one another. To show chesed to one another, to be the presence of Christ in the life of another person. It's our blessing, it's our responsibility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we do thank you for this story from your word, story of people of noble character who follow you and by following you act to show you and your goodness to one another. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide and direct us in our lives, that you would be a redeeming presence and that you would fill our lives with people of noble character and that we ourselves would be those who show your loyalty and kindness to our world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're able to stand, would you please stand with me as we profess our faith? The words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.